If you'll go to Psalms 100, we're going to do just a brief devotion and some thought time here. They actually are doing some prayer sheets. There were none back there, but they are in the process. I believe, I didn't know it till today, but Lana's also out of town, so they're getting that together right now. Psalms 100, interesting about this Psalms, when my kids were in Bible drills. How many of you know what Bible drills are? You know, that's kind of a Baptist church, I guess, I think Southern Baptist. But take the kids at a young age, and it's usually not, it's done in an extracurricular environment where you learn the books of the Bible and you learn to look up different passages by descriptions, and you race against the clock, but you also race against each other so you can find it the fastest. But the end result is you get to go to state competition and all this based on how fast you can find a scripture passage. It's really beneficial in a lot of ways. I learned a lot just helping my kids study for it. But this Psalms 100, that was one of the Psalms that in Bible drills was known as a Psalm of Praise. And lately, that's some of my devotional time and thought time. I've been thinking about thankfulness. You know, that's one of the things I think sometimes is missing in my life. I don't know about you guys. I can't speak for that, but I've also found in caring for two elderly aging parents that your perspective makes all the difference in the world of how you approach things and what kind of a job you do. And it's been a challenge for my dad, my mom and dad, until just 2 or 3 years ago. He's 89, she's 86. They were carefree for about 25 years. He retired early and they had a place in the mountains and they went wherever they wanted to, went on cruises, just whatever. I mean, sometimes they were gone for weeks or months. We kept in contact. But all of a sudden that changed when my mom got spinal stenosis about 4 years ago and had surgery. Since then she's had a fractured femur and two hip replacements, and now she has dementia. So their lives changed dramatically, which means my life and my wife's life has changed dramatically. And I've just noticed in approaching things, no matter what it is, where you're at in life or what you've got going on in your life, how good a job you do at something depends on how you approach that.
Some things that are important.
Is this all we have? Okay. Approach things with thanksgiving. Contentment. Contentment's always, I don't know about you, contentment's always been a problem for me. Now, I could blame that on a lot of things. I'm a type A, I'm driven, I was competitive. Most people in this church, men and women, are that way. So you can find excuses for not being content. But the real problem with not being content is focusing on the wrong thing. It's focusing on goals that are not properly prioritized. Not that the goals are wrong, not that there's anything wrong with those, but the priority of the goals and what matters most. And boy, I appreciate Lane and Janet. I appreciate Lane, especially the emphasis in the Sunday morning. I had some time to think about that. But you know, you think about this life. You think about your marriage relationship. And really, if we're not careful and we're not properly informed from Scripture in our minds, we do think about things a little differently as what they might actually be like. And the marriage relationship is a great blessing. We're all thankful. But it is going to be replaced when we're in the presence of God, with God Himself, with His very being, who He is, His essence. And that's true of everything. I've had people ask me before, do you think there's going to be animals in heaven? And all I can tell them is from Scripture, I can tell you this. In heaven, it said we won't even need the sun. We won't need the moon. We won't need anything. Why? Because God's going to provide everything. God is that complete in what He provides for us. So while there's a sad element of that, the marriage relationship, the relationship ending in the sense that we know it here, the communion that God gives us, the fellowship that God provides for us in heaven will be totally complete. And we don't experience any of that here. We don't experience anything in the completeness that God originally intended it and created it to be. And that's important to remember, I think. So Psalms 100 talks about praising God for nothing specific, just for who he is in a sense. It's listed as the end, the last of the kingship Psalms. You know, it's important too when you study the Bible, and Psalms is one of those books, to make sure you understand the context of what's going on. Even if it's just a psalm, sometimes it seems pretty simple, and it is often simply written. But, you know, there are different psalms for different purposes. You have imprecatory psalms. You know what that is, where you pray a curse down on your enemies. There's several of them. David was good at that. Sometimes I want to read those too. If you want the numbers, I've got them. You know, you can read them, but you probably don't need any practice at that. There's psalms of praise. There's psalms of thanksgiving. There's different psalms for different purposes. Psalms of repentance. We just sang this last Sunday. What's the most famous psalm of repentance? 51, right? David's repentance over Bathsheba and some other things. So it's important to properly position our thinking when we read Scripture and go into it with a mindset of what's the author trying to lead us into, trying to get us to think about and accomplish here. So Psalms 100, I'm going to read through it and then we'll talk about it briefly. And to help me, my wife's got my phone for time, so Marcia, you'll have to give me some signals. Be careful, some people can see you about those signals. Psalms 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Now that's a lot there. There's a lot that just gives us some glimpses of the essence of God, the attributes of God could be picked out there and talked about. And I'm not really trying to do all that here. But I do want to talk about a little bit about some things, and we'll look at a little bit at some other passages. But there's some inferences here. The inference is that we're going to come into the presence of God for the purpose of worship. The courts and gates in the Old Testament had to do with the temple, and even earlier to a degree the tabernacle. And it talks about as you draw near to God, you come into his presence. So there's an understanding that we're going to do that. Naturally, the people of God are going to do that. Now, we do it officially when we come to this place on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, but specifically on Sunday morning. So it says to come shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Come before him with joyful singing. So what should that bring to mind? When we prepare to come here, especially on Sunday morning, for the purpose of worship and praise, we should have spent some time preparing ourselves. Perhaps getting our temperament under control. Getting our discontentment brought under the word and getting our mind off the things that are not right and getting our mind on God himself and the things that he's blessed us with. See, we can come to church with an unquieted spirit. We can come to church with less than joyful thoughts. Do we ever do that? Yeah. More than we want to admit, don't we? But the instruction out of this psalm, and this is not a psalm specifically for instruction, but we can always get instruction from anything in the Bible, is to spend some time before you come on Sunday morning if you get up early. I'm a late night person. I like to spend the time late at night. Spend some time in God's Word. Sunday school, yes, that's important. But it's not just that. It's spending some time thinking about the Word, thinking about your situation, thinking about your week, thinking about how joyful have I been in the Lord. How much have I celebrated who God is as I'm going to worship this God on Sunday morning? Think about, you know, forget about the kids, forget about your circumstances. But when I say that even knowing you can't do that and neither can I. Just by making up my mind, I'm going to do this. You can accomplish that a little bit. So we start back with a dependence on God, don't we? And God's Spirit working in us. And we have to specifically ask, you know, God, I hate to tell you, I'd hate for you to hear some of my prayers when I'm admitting to God, you know, God, I'm just not real happy with this situation. I'm just, if I got to be honest, I'm going to state it, I'm discontented. As Paul talks about in Philippians 4, I'm not very joyful. You know what? I think that's what God wants us to do. I know He wants us to be. I'm not very joyful. I'm focused on this. My relationship this week with my children or my wife or my work or my thought life or my time that I spent meditating on the Word hasn't been too good. So I'm not going to be too joyful unless God's Spirit works in me. So the preparation to come, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Isn't that interesting? All of the earth. Who would that include? Everybody, right? All of creation, not just the Jews, okay? That would be the Gentiles. Praise God. You think of that. We've actually been given the privilege as Gentiles of coming into the presence of God. So it's encouraging for all of us to shout joyfully to all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've had to back up, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, and say, you know, Lord, I'm not serving my parents with a whole lot of gladness. I'm just going to be honest to you. I'm not too happy sometimes with this situation, and I'm certainly not happy with the responses I'm getting sometimes from one or the other of my parents when I know what's best, right? I've got to know what's best. So you have to back up and say, you know what, Lord? I just need to have some gladness. I just need to have some peace. And I just need to take whatever comes as it comes. But you know what? I can't do that in my own strength. So, Lord, I want to serve you with gladness. I want to serve you with joy. And I want to come before you with a heart that's full of song, a heart that's singing. Now, believe me, you don't want me to break out into singing here. Y'all would all exit quickly, but inside I can be right. I can start my day. I can end my day. I can get in tough situations. You know, I felt embarrassed the other day because Tim Thompson said, Brandon, y'all know Brandon's working for me. And he said, you know, Brandon gave you a compliment. I said, really? I didn't know Brandon paid that much attention. You know, I was just kidding. But he said, yeah, somebody said they had a call back there and said there's a lady on the phone and she's really mad and she's upset. And I said, Mr. Larry, just answered the phone and, you know, was just calm with her and helped her out. And I said, well, I'm glad Brandon didn't stay around for the next phone call because I might have been the reverse. You know, isn't that the way we are? The Lord just blessed me and blessed Brandon to hear that part of me, but I know I can be the other way. So we don't need to try to hide that. We need to admit to the Lord when we're not too joyful, we're not singing. But He tells us something in the next verse that can help us with that. He said, come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. And it is He who has made us and not we or ourselves. Now that is a mouthful. To stop and know that the Lord is God. What does that mean to you when you stop and think about that? That the Lord is God. When you think about God, that's why it's so important to know God from Scripture. It's important to know His attributes and to know what the Word, what His Word reveals about Him. What do we know about God? Well, we can get the three O's out of the way, right? He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. What's the one, though, I asked in Sunday school the other day, what's the one we always forget? There's others, but one of the four main attributes. What's the fourth one? Starts with an I, immutable. God does not change. You know, of all the things that's most comforting to me, it may be that one characteristic. I love it all. But knowing that God does not change. So when we go to God and ask Him according to His Word, we don't have to worry about the answer we're going to get, do we? Changing. He doesn't vacillate like we all do. Like I said, I could change from one phone call to the next at that pharmacy. But we don't have to worry about God doing that. That should bring comfort. God is always there. He knows it all. He's omnipotent and He's omnipresent, and He's not going to change. He's going to continue to be God and who He is. And He has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We all know Psalms 23. But it says, He made us and not we ourselves. Have you ever wondered how we got to, I'm just going to be frank with you, the lunacy of the rhetoric in this country? Have you ever wondered how we got people in positions of leadership that are, I'm going to try to be nice here, but they just don't have any wisdom? In fact, they don't seem to have any common ability to reason based on observable facts, do they? How has that happened? How have we gotten to the point where so many of the people don't have what it's not even critical analysis, it's just observational skills to come to a conclusion based on what's evident? Well, it's because in a humanistic mindset, the ultimate answer to all of our problems is found where? In ourselves. It's as if we have created this universe. It's as if we have given ourselves life. It's as if we have brought all this about. And so we're going to ultimately find the answers within ourselves, collectively or individually. But if you view it scripturally, that it's outside of ourselves, the source outside of us, is a being that is totally different from us in essence. And that's where the answers are found, from His Word. Then you come up with a totally different approach to solving the problems that are there. And you also come up with a totally different understanding of what we see before us each day. Now, we're not to focus on that. We're to focus on God, the God who has made us. And we haven't made ourselves, so we need to look to Him. We are His people. You've heard the comparison many times in John 10. The sheep of His pasture, Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. Anybody here ever dealt with sheep on a farm? I know you've heard this many times, but it is actually true. So when I was wandering around trying to decide exactly what God was going to lead me to do, I went to that other university that Johnson attended. I can't remember, Sarah, I think, went there too. So I took a meats processing course when I was thinking about going to vet school. I was getting some things out of the way. And in that course, we slaughtered a goat, a hog, a cow, and a sheep. You know what was interesting that God left in my mind then that I brought with me? When we went for the pig, it took a bunch of us, and that pig squealed the whole time. When we got the goat, you can imagine hopping around, jumping around. The cow was out in a pen, and the teacher sent two or three guys out to drive the cow into the chute. They never came back, to make a long story short. When we went out there, that cow was circling the pen. One of those guys tried to come down off the pen, that cow would go towards you. In other words, the cow had those three guys treed on the side of the pen. Those three animals fought us. But you know what the sheep did? This always amazed me. Not one thing. Led the sheep over. We stood there. One person had the sheep, took a knife, did what we were supposed to do. Not one sound from that sheep. Not one. Just humble, not sensing anything wrong or any danger. Now you think about that. If we're not careful, that's the comparison God gives us to the way we're placed in the world. We need to be alert. We need to be praying. We need to be aware of danger. But we also need to understand that God is a good shepherd. We weren't good shepherds where we were slaughtering that sheep. As far as the sheep's concerned, we weren't good shepherds. But God doesn't lead us like that. And God's going to lead us, what does it say in Psalm 23, besides still waters? He restoreth our souls. So it's not just that He's a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a loving Father. And He leads us that way. It says, enter His gates, coming a little closer through the gates and the courts with praise and thanksgiving. Look at Philippians 4. I know we refer to this chapter a good bit. One thing I've had to remind myself of and have been reminded of as things have changed in the last two or three years in my life and my wife's life, is Philippians 4. And the first part of that, starting verse 4, you know it all. You can quote it. Most of you, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us what to put our minds on. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And he said, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice. And again, what? The God of peace shall be with you. Sometimes we have to be reminded of that peace that we have with God. Go to Romans 5 for a second. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. A hope that does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So as you think about this Psalms and you think about who God is and what he's done for us and how we are his sheep, that should bring us peace. Why do I emphasize that so much? Because if you don't have a peaceful spirit, if you don't have peace with God, and that's not clear, you're not going to be able to do any of this. You're not going to be able to be joyful. You're not going to be able to sing praises. Not really. Now, none of us have complete peace all the time, do we? It's impossible because of our fallenness, our sinful nature. But that's the foundation of everything about this. If I can't have peace with God, I don't have any peace. Part of my testimony I shared with the Sunday school class again is when I was reading the Beatitudes, I closed the Bible. I can't do this. I can't live up to a standard where if you look at a woman wrongly, you're lusting. If you get mad with your brother, you're committing murder. No. And I was right. Praise God, I was right. I couldn't do that. Just like I can't continually be contented, or I can't continually be joyful, but with the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, and pleading for him to give us that joy, give us that contentment, make us come into his presence, not just on Sunday morning, but in the morning when we start our devotion, or at night when we go to bed, or when I'm going to care for my parents, or these children, or a difficult situation in my marriage, or my job. God, I don't have peace. You start with honesty. God, I don't have joy. But God, you can give me that. Your word says you will give me that, and you indwell me. So I'm pleading with you to give me that. Now, I wish I could tell you some magic words. There's no magic genie. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic request. Except for this. And that's where faith comes in. If you see it in other people, you've read it, biography, that's why it's important to read about other people. And you understand the testimony of the fellowship, not just locally, but internationally. And you understand what they're telling you and what they've given. As their testimony, you draw on that. That's building your faith. And you draw on that through prayer. And you draw on that through action as God works in you to change you. Finally, it says, give thanks to him. Bless his name. Remember in Philippians 4, it says, give thanks in everything. Why should we do that? For the Lord's good. The Lord is good. His loving kindness we'll see you through a week. It's not what it says, is it? His loving kindness is what? Everlasting. everlasting. That's that immutability of God that I appreciate. God is always loving. He's always kind. And his loving kindness never ends. It is everlasting. And he threw us in here because this was written a little bit before some of us were born. In fact, all of us. I mean, I'm getting old, but even I was, you know, this is before me, Dan. You know, I know you think I'm pretty old here. How long does his loving kindness last? To all generations. Till the end. His loving kindness is always, continually there. It's to you, it's to me, it's to our children, our grandchildren. So I think we can find something to give thanks for there. In God, in his loving kindness and his goodness, we can enter into this place, yes, with praise and worship and joyful singing, but we can also enter into the life that God has put us in with that same joyful singing and that same contentment and peace with God. You won't have peace continually and perfectly with relationships, even your spouse, your children, your fellow workers, your bosses. That's not going to be a continual thing. But the peace of God growing in us continually to give us a contentment that allows us to do, to be yielded and walk humbly according to the Spirit and the Word of God is what ultimately is allows us to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? I'm not even sure I said that like I want to say it. But that fruitfulness for God has to be developed, has to be emanating from a peaceful, contented spirit that emanates from peace with God first. And that has to be growing and developing for us to be continually fruitful and accomplish the works which he's ordained beforehand first for us to walk in Ephesians 2:10. It's to me, the ultimate basis of all psalms and all praise and all joy and all happiness, if you will, is that peace with God that's a growing relationship. You know, I've had to learn to trust God in a lot of different things over the last few years. Like I said, I came from a background of get it done. I've got a pastor cousin that's mine. He said, your characteristic is like mine. You can accomplish a lot of things, and all of you can too, in and of yourself. But we can't accomplish anything that's lasting. But not only that, if we're accomplishing it in and of ourselves, it's not going to bring peace. It's going to do the opposite. And ultimately, it's going to give us a lot of hubris, a lot of false pride. And we have to watch that and be careful with that. So, as we think on these things, as we think how good God is, as we think on he's a loving father, he's made us. He's taken care of us. He's a good shepherd, a loving shepherd. He never changes. We can be thankful at every stage of life, at every position of life. And we know that the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things. Not necessarily for all things, because I don't give thanks for all things, but learning to give thanks because God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose out of Romans 8. If God can't do it, nobody can. So, as we dwell on that and think about that and pray tonight, I want us to remember that and take that home with you. And when you look at your children, you look at your spouse, you look at whatever relationship you're in, remember that God is directing that. God is developing you, sanctifying you. And when that peace leaves you, plead for that peace. When that joy leaves you, plead for that joy by thanksgiving and come back to give thanks to God for who he is and what he has done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are a God not like us, that your presence in our life is everlasting, that you have given us the pledge of the Spirit. Lord, that you have put our sins as far as the east is from the west, and you continue to do that. Lord, help us to be confessors, good confessors, truthful, to be yielded and walk in humility. Lord, help us to seek that joy that you promised to give us, the joy that you instill in us, And Lord, when it's not there, help us to be quick repenters and quick examiners of our life and our situations. And help us to have a desire, as David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit, Lord, within us. Do that continually. I pray for each person individually. You alone know the need. You alone know what is going on in their lives individually. You know their challenges, Lord, and you know their level of peace and contentment. And I pray you would increase that, Lord, exponentially. And I pray as you do that, Lord, you would help us to edify each other, to lift each other up in prayer, and to lean on you, Lord, to sing praises even when we don't feel like it, to seek to be joyous when we're not necessarily feeling that way inside. And Lord, forgive us when we do not do that. But Lord, continue to work in us your purposes by your Spirit as you continue to change us for your glory and ultimately our good. In Christ's name, amen.
What time is it? How bad did I do?